Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. Let us hear God's word. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out for Haran. His wife, Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, we need you every hour. We need you just simply to understand your word. Oh, Father God, send your Holy Spirit. Bless the preaching and the hearing of your word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I grew up on a single road. There were 10 houses on that road. And because there was hardly any traffic, that made it right for football games, baseball games, frisbees. Everybody in the neighborhood was out in that street with nothing to fear. Well, I remember one day that my mom stuck her head out the front door and she said, "Greg, dinner." She went back inside. And guess what her son did? Do you think that he got up and immediately went inside? No. It was my bat, my ball. I wanted to stay and play. Well, a few minutes went by, and then I heard another call. This time it was my full name, and it was not a female voice, it was a male voice. "Gregory Morris Hamer." That call was effectual. It did what it intended it to do. It called me into the house for dinner. That's kind of like what Abram experienced. And in many ways, this is really where the church, as we know it, this is where the church really kind of, in a sense, begins. Abraham is called. He is called out from darkness. He is called out from idolatry. He is called out from a sinful lifestyle to follow God to the place where God would take him. Now, you need to understand, as you read the Old Testament, and especially the accounts of Abram, and then you read them again in the New Testament, you need to understand that Abram was not a good churchgoer. He was not a believer. As a matter of fact, Abram was a pagan. He worshipped man-made gods. He grew up in a non-believer's home. Listen to what Joshua writes about Abram. He says, "Long ago, your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abram, lived beyond the river and worshipped other gods." He worshipped other gods. The reason that Moses writes that is to let us know that Abram was a descendant of those pagan people there at the Tower of Babel. There is nothing that Abram can boast about, because his past life, his growing up life, has been immersed in paganism. Oh, they had heard of Yahweh, but Yahweh was just one in a line of hundreds of different gods that Abram had heard about. It's kind of like the Caribbean nations of our day. They mix voodoo and Roman Catholicism. Polytheism teaches that there are many gods, and those are connected to specific places. They believe that some gods were limited to the waters. Some gods were limited to the desert. Yahweh was limited to the mountains, and that's why he is called the God of the mountains. Thus, what we see is that God is calling, effectually calling this individual to, in many ways, be the first of the church as we know it. He's calling him to forsake all those gods, to forsake his family, and follow the one true God. Verse 1, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. See, this shows the sovereign grace of God. God did not respond to any act of righteousness or obedience on Abram's part. God did not choose Abram because there was any merit in Abram. We'll see that later on in our study of Abraham. Abram did not have faith, and then God called him. No, God initiated the entire thing. Abram was saved by grace. The God of glory condescended and came down and spoke and effectually called Abram to follow this God of mercy. Unrighteous Abram was not seeking a righteous God, but a righteous God was seeking an unrighteous Abram. Nobody in Abram's family were saints. They were all wicked. Abram had no credentials to be the father of all Christian believers. No. There was nothing about Abram, nothing about Abram that would cause God to come to him and effectually call him in faith. No. God could have chosen anybody that he wanted to. Yet God called him and him alone. Thus, this shows that salvation depends upon God's divine initiative. God chooses whom he will save. God calls Isaac, passes over Ishmael. God calls Jacob, passes over Esau. It is this divine initiative, this divine calling, this what the theologians would call this an effectual calling. It accomplishes that which God has determined it to do. Abraham was as dead in sin and transgressions as the dried bones of Ezekiel's vision. Paul puts it this way. He says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." God chose Abram. Later on, he's going to change Abram's name to Abraham. God chose you. You do not deserve it. You didn't ask for it. Instead, you were chosen as a sinner to receive the grace of God. Jesus puts it this way in chapter 6. No one can come to him, or no one can come to me, unless the Father who sent me draws them. You can't come to Christ unless the Holy Spirit draws you to Christ. You are dead in sin. You must be made alive, and you can't do it. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says, "For he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." I've had people say, "Well, why did God choose me?" Well, there's a bunch of reasons that he didn't choose you, but there's only one reason that he did choose you. And that one reason is that it brought the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit joy to draw you into their fellowship and to experience the love of God that is so wide and deep that it cannot even be measured. God passed over a lot of people. He didn't pass over you. God chose Abram. He passed over the rest of the world. God didn't have to save Abram. Instead, it pleased God to pour out his love and his mercy and his grace upon this pagan and to change this pagan's life. But preacher, wait a second. Didn't Abram have faith? Isn't he called the father of the faithful? Well, yes and yes. And we will see that we should model our faith after Abram. But having faith did not originate within Abram. Faith, you see, is a gift. Ephesians 2:8. "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, so that no one can boast." You see, faith, it's not a natural work. It's not natural. It is supernatural. Though faith in Christ is required of you, guess what? God the Father gives you the faith of Jesus Christ, so that then you begin to understand the Bible, so that you begin to see yourself as a big sinner. All these things are conforming you to the image of Christ. All these things are working in your life to draw you unto Jesus Christ. When God sovereignly sends the Holy Spirit to indwell the elect, that individual becomes united to Christ through the Holy Spirit. Therefore, everything about the human nature of Christ, the Holy Spirit is going to start working that in you. He's going to start working that in you. Listen to what Jesus says here in John chapter 16. He says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will bring glory to me," meaning he will bring glory to Christ, "by taking from what is mine and giving it unto you." Holy Spirit is going to bring glory to Christ by taking what belongs to Jesus
and working that in you. And there are several things that we could mention, but for our purposes today, it is faith. Faith. The faith of the human nature of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is going to begin to work that in you. Yeah, but preacher, how do I know that the Holy Spirit's doing that? Well, you read your Bible? Yeah, I read my Bible, and you know what? I've been reading the Bible more. There's one proof right there. You're having an interest in God's Word. Don't you think that Jesus had an interest in God's Word? And you know what, preacher? There are some things that I used to do, and I don't do those anymore because I know it doesn't please God. There you go. You see, all of these little things, the Holy Spirit is working in you. You think that it's coming from you, but it does not originate within you. It originates within Jesus Christ, and He is pleased to work that in you. As Paul says, we are being conformed to the image of Christ. For it is God who works in you to will and act according to His good purpose. Jesus, in speaking about Him being the great shepherd of the sheep, says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hands. My Father, who is greater than them all, gives them to me, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hands. Abram indeed heard the voice of the shepherd. You have heard the voice of the shepherd as well. If you hadn't, you wouldn't be here. Well, I don't understand everything, preacher. You never will. You never will. Because the only one who can understand everything is God Himself. Let me read to you a hymn. We got time? I'm going to read to you a hymn. This is on page 705. Open your hymnals. I know whom I have believed. Let me read to you. Hymn 705. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He has made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love has redeemed me for His own. I know not how this saving faith to me He did impart. Now see, that's what I told you. Faith of Christ has been given to you. I do not know how this saving faith to me He did impart, nor how believing in His word wrought peace within my heart. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, and creating faith in Him. I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, of weary ways or golden days before His face I see. I know not when my Lord returns at night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the veil with Him or meet Him in the air. But this I know. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. The reason this effectual calling is revealed in the Scriptures is that it brings assurance and peace and comfort to you during difficult times. Paul is experiencing all these difficult things: pain, suffering, nakedness. The list goes on. But he says, "But if God is for us, who can be against us?" God is for you. He's on your side. Oh, he's going to lead you into difficult things, and we'll see that as we study the life of Abraham. But he's going to lead you through difficult times because he wants you to understand that you stand by grace and not by good works of your own. He wants you to understand that from first to last, he wants you to keep your eyes upon Jesus Christ. And then the peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind. It's been thousands of years since God called Abram. But God is still in the business of calling idol worshipers to Him. And you are an example of that. If you're a Christian, this is what's happened to you. You have been called out of idolatry to embrace the one true God. If you are a Christian, it is because the Lord loved you from the foundations of the earth. Not because of something good you might have done, but simply because God chose to love you. Therefore, listen for the call. The call is in this book. Listen for God to call you by reading the Scriptures and understand that He has called you out to be good for you and to bless you. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank You for Jesus Christ. We thank You for Your mercies unto us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we would heed Your call, that we would follow You, and that we would seek to honor You in all things. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close our worship.